So you remember that tonight is the band concert?
Of course I didn't forget.
All right, I'll see you there.
I got it.
See, the one and only reason your business exists is to help you achieve your life goals.
Fabulous.
There were so many great things.
I loved it.
I was literally in tears.
Howard Partridge has a gift.
That was fantastic.
Howard Partridge is an international business coach, guiding small business owners in over 100 industries in 7 countries. He is a best-selling author of 4 books that reached number 1 on Amazon. Howard is also the founding member of the John Maxwell team.
The success is becoming the person you were created to be.
Howard started in Mobile, Alabama, where he spent his childhood on welfare. At age 18, he moved to Texas with just 25 cents to his name. There he built his first business, from the trunk of his car, into a multi-million dollar enterprise. Today, Howard is president of Phenomenal Products Incorporated, which helps small business owners stop being a slave to their business by transforming it into a predictable, profitable turnkey operation.
Just remember what Zig Ziglar said. He said that anything worth doing is worth doing poorly until you can learn to do it well.
Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Phenomenal, Howard Partridge.
Let's give a standing welcome to Howard Partridge!
How many of you ready to go? Wow! Look at this phenomenal audience, better than phenomenal audience.
Do you remember why you went into business for yourself to start with? The brutal reality of most small business owners' lives, you feel like a slave to your business, very little family time, business consumes your mind, 24/7, major stress, no real freedom. You feel like you have a job instead of a business and your day is consumed putting out brush fires. How many of you either feel that way right now or you felt that way in the past? Let me see your hands. Yeah, just about every small business owner on the planet for sure. Well, I know how that feels because I've been there, I've done that. I'm originally from L.A., Lower Alabama, and don't worry, my wife doesn't laugh at my jokes either. But I grew up very poor on welfare in Mobile, Alabama. There were 7 kids crammed in a little 600-square-foot shack, and the roof on that house was so bad that every time it rained, we had to get out all the pots and pans to catch the leaks. My mother literally fed us on $100 a month from the welfare department. I don't care when that was, it just wasn't a lot of money. Well, when you grow up in an environment like that, what are you likely to turn out like? For me, it was a rebellious 18-year-old. I got in a fight with my stepdad, got kicked out of the house. I deserved it, by the way, because I was a high D off the charts. Get kicked out of the house, and by the way, I came across this photograph recently in a photo album. Shortly before I got kicked out of the house, the kicker, by the way, was I quit my job to go to a Rolling Stones concert in New Orleans, and somebody in the audience is going like, what's wrong with that, right? But the other kicker right before that was I wrecked my car, and of course, once it was finished, my stepdad and my mom put it up for sale. And I'm a D, so you can't tell D's no, right? So I'm like, I'm going to fix this. So I go down, at 17 years old, I go down to this used car lot, and I buy that car right there for $250, okay? This thing was so bad that it was missing a muffler. There were holes in the floorboard, so when you cranked it up, there was this awful white smoke that would come up inside the car. And so rain or shine, you got to have the windows down, otherwise you die, just the way it was. And I'm sure that our next door neighbors appreciated the fact that I cranked that thing up at midnight to go to my nighttime job stocking groceries. Well, right before I moved to Houston, in order to get that bus ticket for $39.95, I sold that car to a junkyard for $25, and that kind of helped me get that bus ticket to Houston. Now, that was a 1964 Dodge Coronet push button. The gears were, like, I would pay $250 to have that car back, okay? I would pay, I don't know what they're worth right now, but I think when I get to the beach this summer, I'm going to start searching around, and then I'm going to ship it up there to AC and let him, like, trick it out for me and make it all pretty and everything. And then I might cut the top off of it and just, you know, drive down the beach, you know, just be like, oh, yeah, let's go into second gear, you know? Yeah. So I get to Houston, I become a waiter, and I worked in all these restaurants where we did tableside cooking, wore a tuxedo to work. We did Steak Diane, Bananas Foster, Cherry's Jubilee, and setting stuff on fire inside at that age was pretty cool, let me tell you. But I always wanted to have my own business. I just didn't make enough money as a waiter to really start a business. And then I met my wife, Denise Congette Antoinette Pinella. Now, that's Italian, and she's from New Jersey. And I'm from where? Lower Alabama. This is going to be a good match. So my dad, by the way, I moved to Houston to live with my dad, who I'd only met twice in my whole life. He left when I was a year old. I didn't even know him, but I heard that he was very successful. My sister was here, so I came here to be with him. So he buys me a pinstripe suit. You know, Italians, you got to have that pinstripe suit, you know, and I looked Italian, so that was good. But the problem was, Denise said, look, keep your mouth shut, because you have an accent. Well, you know, Zig had something to say about that, right? He said, you know, if you take an old boy from the South and you take him up north and he stays too long, he's going to come back with an accent. He said, but if you take an old boy from the north and you bring him down south and he stays long enough, he'll be talking normal. Yeah. Zig had a way of putting everything, didn't he? So I marry into this Italian family, and when you marry in an Italian family, you don't get wedding presents. What do you get? You get cash. We got $3,000 cash in wedding money, and there was a friend of the family, same age as me, 23 at the time, tooling around a little red Mercedes convertible, and I said, I want to know what that guy does, and I want to know if it's legal. You know, Italians again, you know, the mob. Well, my wife's family's not like that, but turns out that he is a business owner. I get back to Houston. I spend the entire $3,000 that we got from our wedding starting my first business out of the trunk of my car, and my wife was really thrilled about that, let me tell you. You want to know what happened after that? Everything was rosy, right? From that point on, start that business, man, everything's good, right? I made good money, but guess what? 13 long years, I felt like a slave to that business. Yes, I made good money, but I worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And in 1997, I learned two secrets that changed everything for me. I read a little book called The E-Myth Revisited by Michael E. Gerber. And the first secret that I learned is that you got to have systems in your business. And I went down to my favorite place in the whole world, Destin, Florida, sat on the beach with a pile of notebooks, rewrote my life, rewrote my vision, rewrote my goals, and I came back to Houston and started working on that business. And I transformed that business into a multi-million dollar turnkey operation. Those of you that are here for the first time, tomorrow morning, you need to be downstairs at 6:15. There will be a bus out there to take you over to my company, and you'll see how all these systems fit together. So if you haven't been before, you need to check at the staff table to make sure that they've got you, you know, good to go on that, because it's something to see. I've got a phenomenal team, phenomenal systems in place. Well, so about 20 years ago, I started teaching those systems to other small business owners, and in 2008, Zig came in and spoke on this stage, built a relationship with Ziglar, became the exclusive small business coach for Ziglar, and that's Tom and I in front of Cambridge University. We went and spoke at Cambridge University. I barely got out of high school, okay? So it doesn't matter where you're coming from. How many of you know it matters where you're going, All right, I was talking to Brian at dinner last night. We were just talking about goals, and he was just talking about how you just set a goal. And you're going to learn a lot from him about that. It's about simply setting a goal and putting it in your mind. Got the pleasure of being mentored by John Maxwell and Michael Gerber, and of course we've had some better than phenomenal speakers on this stage over the last few years. By the way, this is the team that you'll meet tomorrow. Some of them are here right now. Leakey's back here at the staff table. She's our marketing director. She'll be doing the tour tomorrow. And I think Scott and Joe will be here. Okay, they're not here yet, but you notice how they're going to show up for Brian, but they're not here yet. You know, they're probably taking care of business. I'm just teasing. But let them know when they come, okay, would you? Just kidding. All right, so this is my team over at my service company, and then we've got a small team at Phenomenal Products, small but potent. So you got to have a team. Met Michael Gerber. He came and spoke. He's been here several times, and he and John both had some nice things to say about me. In fact, his wife, Michael's wife, called me last year, and she said, I want you to come and introduce Michael for his 80th birthday party. It was a surprise birthday party. He didn't even know. So here's the audience. It's like dark, and his friends, his family are out here, and I got to be the one to tell Michael that, hey, I'm bringing a group over to California, and you're going to speak to them. I don't have any idea why they wanted this man to do a keynote. I mean, what's the point, right? So he's doing a keynote. Like, you don't want to do this. You don't want to do a keynote to people you have no idea who they are. Or worse, you're giving a keynote to someone that you think that's who they are, right? So I said, well, small business owners, you know, you've been to my place before. I got a group that I'm bringing out there. So here out in the dark are his children, his family, his best friends for years. And he has no idea. He does this hour-long keynote. And he's like, why am I not getting any feedback? You know, everybody's just like sitting there. So it's pretty cool. But I'm most passionate and most proud of my relationship with Ziglar. And here's why. I believe that the wisdom of this great man is more important today than ever before. How many of you would agree with that? Absolutely. Yeah, you can give him a big hand clap. Zig Ziglar was an American legend. He touched an estimated 250 million lives, a quarter of a billion lives on the planet. When he passed away, it was national news. It was on CNN, a trending topic on Twitter. All the networks carried it. I mean, the man impacted some lives. There are lives in this room right here that were changed by that man. So I'm very passionate about Ziglar. And in fact, I had the pleasure of helping Tom with the very last chapter of Zig Ziglar's very last book called Born to Win. Tom wanted to put a chapter in there for business leaders. It's called Born to Win for Business Leaders. And that launched us out on a journey of workshops all over the world, Australia, UK, Amsterdam, all over the U.S. And this relationship has just been amazing. I've got 5 published books now. I just finished my 6th manuscript, and I'm going to be telling you about my 7th book that'll be coming out in January here in just a second. But here's what we're most proud of, and here's why I do what I do. What do you think the number one question was that I asked Brian Tracy last night? In fact, this would be the time for a little audience feedback, and I know you're wondering, I know you're sitting there going, Howard, did you bring peanuts for me? And the answer is yes, okay? But you got to give me a little feedback. What do you think the first question was that I asked Brian Tracy last night? How was your flight? How was your flight? No, but here's some peanuts. You passed those back to Ted. I appreciate you, though, because this is a life that has been changed right here in this room. In fact, wait until you see my next book coming out. It's called Discover Your Phenomenal Dream, and I have a letter from his daughter. She had to do a book report on my book, Think and Be Phenomenal. It's amazing. It'll make you cry. Okay, but good try. who else was? Nobody wants to share now, right? So what do you think that I... Who just wants some peanuts? How about that? Anybody want peanuts? There we go. Okay, all right, here we go. I can't get all the way out there. There we go. Everybody, I don't know why, but people want peanuts. So I was traveling on Southwest Airlines. This is how this happened, okay? So I'm traveling on Southwest Airlines. One of the things I noticed that Brian did last night is something that I do, and I ask, he would ask the waiter or waitress what their name was. And I do the same thing because I found that I get great service when I do that. I knew why he was doing it, but I wanted to hear it from him. So I said, why do you call the ask the waiter or waitress what their name is? He said, because I get great service. So that's what I do on Southwest Airlines. But sometimes they think I'm being over-friendly, and they think I'm giving them a hard time, which was the case one evening. I'd done a full-day workshop somewhere. I get on the phone, or get on the plane. I get on the plane and, get done with my phone and all that stuff and do all my texting, shut it down, and I fall asleep. When I wake up, there's no peanuts on my tray. And so Rhonda comes by, and I was like, Rhonda, you know, it's kind of like chocolates on the pillow. Where are my peanuts? I don't care anything about peanuts, right? But I just want to kind of give her a hard time. She goes, I'll take care of you, troublemaker. So she comes back with an entire bag of peanuts, and she dumps them on my lap. And they go everywhere, all over the floor. And she goes, that ought to keep you busy for a while. I'm like, what am I going to do with 50 bags of peanuts? So the next day, I was speaking at a group, there was 500 people out there, and I just start chunking out peanuts to the audience and told them the story. They loved it. I had no idea how much people love Southwest Airlines peanuts. You guys are nuts. You know that, right? I'm like, I got to do this again. So how do I get more peanuts? So now I had to create some kind of story. So now it's like a thing. Every time I travel, I get bags and bags and bags of peanuts. In fact, I have the Southwest Airlines flight attendants competing now. You know, last time, so-and-so did this. Last time, so-and-so did that. So this lady brings my peanuts in a barf bag, and it says, we love you. How many of you know that it's L-U-V, right? That's their symbol. We love you, heart, smiley face, here at Southwest. We love you here at Southwest. Creative. Some of them are like, well, how many bags have you gotten at one time? So I like leave with a whole suitcase. One of these days, the CEO or the CFO of Southwest Airlines is going to be like, hey, folks, we got a peanut problem here. Peanuts are disappearing. And they're going to get out the security cameras, and they're going to see this guy leaving the plane, you know, with all these peanuts. Anyway, here's why I do what I do. And here's what I asked Brian. What I asked Brian, the number one question was, why do you do what you do? I want to ask you that same question. Why do you do what you do? See, Brian's called to this. He loves this. He loves coming to speak. He can't wait to talk to y'all. He can't wait. He loves you. And he doesn't even know you yet. He loves what he does. I'm called to do this. The reason that I do what I do is because of guys like this, John Michalidis right here, who his business was literally losing money when he started here, and he increased by 400% and got profitable the first year. He's become a great friend. This young lady right here, this community, you guys loving on her, saved her marriage. Sherry Perry, who can't be here, is it literally changed her whole life, and she's sent her team to be here. Evan, this guy started with us, increased his business $500,000 in year one, his personal income by $158,000, got his business turnkey in 3 years, and then because of that was able to move from Maine to Dallas, Texas to become the president of Ziegler. dream come true. See, it doesn't matter where you... Thank you very much. It doesn't matter where you're starting from. How many of you know it matters where you're going? But you got to know why you're doing what you're doing. The reason that I do what I do is because of people like Brenda Sell, who her husband, who ran the business, passed away. And she didn't know how to run this business. Her mom, who did all the accounting and everything, got sick, couldn't work. She's holding this business. And Tom and I had met them in Atlanta. And so she joins up the inner circle. So we helped her with that business. And then she got cancer. And for 2 years, this community right here walked through that with her. So not only did her business survive, but she's cancer-free. That's why I do what I do. Jeremy and Stephanie back here, when they first started with us, they had done $67,000 in business the whole year, small business. Last month, they did $65,000 in 1 month. The reason I do what I do is because of people like this right here, Matt McKinley, who, although he had a good business, doing $8.5 million a year when he came to us, but it was disorganized. He didn't have these systems in place. And he was able to get focused and get those systems and that team, and he's done a phenomenal job. And not only grew his revenue significantly, but now he's got a rocking business. And one thing that all of these people have in common is they just keep showing up. It's amazing how that happens, isn't it? It's all I've done for the last 30-something years, 32 years, almost 33 years. Just keep showing up. Keep learning. So give yourselves a big hand clap for being here. All right. If you will go ahead and open up your book now, let's get into a little bit of content. I shared with you that back in 1997, I learned two secrets that changed my life, okay? Are you tired of holding that phone? We can say bye to the live Facebook crowd. So everybody say hi to Facebook real quick. Tell them you should be here right now. Now give them like some real love. Like, come on, let's like inner circle. Woo! There we go. Okay, see y'all. Victoria's arm's about to fall off. It's like, okay. Note to self, tripod for the iPhone. Okay. All right, so I'm going to give you guys some basic stuff, and then in a little bit, we're going to actually turn on our weekly Inner Circle webcast, and I'm going to give you a very special message that's not in your agenda, that is the latest thing that I've been working on, okay? But let's get some basics first. Back in 1997, I shared with you that I learned two secrets. Number one, you got to have systems in your business. Number two, the one and only reason your business exists is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. And my acronym for LIFE stands for Living in Freedom Every Day. See, there's no freedom in being a slave to your business. There's no freedom in being broken in debt. There's no freedom in having difficult relationships. And by the way, that was the quote that got me into the last chapter of Zig Ziglar's very last book. So if your business exists for one reason only, and that is to help you achieve your life goals, then you got to have some goals, right? You got to have some life goals. So the question is, do you have a vision for your life? Do you have a vision for your life? This is one of the reasons I love this wheel of life right here. There's 7 core areas on this wheel. I want to ask you a question. Which one of those areas are you supposed to be unsuccessful in? None of them. But isn't it true that many of us settle in a lot of those areas? Because maybe we don't know that we know that we know. Here's my philosophy on a scale of 1 to 10. What's a phenomenal life? What's real freedom? And by the way, that's a big word for Brian. Brian said, the reason that you have a business is freedom. You got to do what you do so that you can have freedom. So my philosophy is a phenomenal life is on a scale of 1 to 10 on that wheel of life, be a borderline 11 on all 7 of them. I mean, like, color off the charts. Because that's what happens when you really follow this stuff is you'll do more than you ever thought you could do. But you got to stay with it. You got to keep showing up. You got to keep studying, you see, and you got to build the foundation. You can't short circuit this thing. You can't say, oh, just give me the, you know, latest, greatest stuff and not have this foundation. The one and only reason your business exists is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. So you got to have a vision for your life. So what's your vision for your spiritual life? What's your vision for your family life? What's your vision for your financial life? How much money are you supposed to have? What kind of person do you want to be? What kind of thought life do you want to have? See, you got to be intentional about that. You have to wake up every day knowing what kind of life you want to live, because how many of you would agree that your business can have a dramatic impact on your personal life? Is that true? Let me ask you a question. How many of you found out that the impact that your business can have on your life can be a positive one? Lord willing, I'm about 6 weeks away from moving into a dream, my dream home on the beach that I've been working on for 20 years. What if I quit? What if I didn't keep going? And I have a team that loves their work. They handle everything. I just get to walk in and take the stage. By the way, give my team a big hand clap. Amazing. For those of you that don't know, this is Denise Conjette Antoinette Pinella Partridge. She will be here later today, so please say hi to her. And we have one phenomenal son. His name is Christian, and he'll be 24 on Saturday. I doubt that you'll see him because we rarely see him. No, that's not true. Actually, I travel a lot. Denise sees him all the time. Of course, mother's going to see him. All right, so here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the 5 secrets of a phenomenal business. There are 5 different areas of business. The first one is marketing. And that's everything that you do to attract prospects to your business. The second one is sales. That's everything that you do to convert prospects into paying customers. The third one is operations. That's everything that you do to serve your clients, your patients, your members, or guests. We have over 100 different industries in the inner circle currently. I mean, if you just talk to people around the room, there might be 100 different industries in this room right now. Everything from chiropractic, to training, to accounting, to plumbing, to cleaning, to horse trailer dealerships, to architecture. I mean, you name it, it's in this room. And all these systems have worked for all of those areas. Then 4th is administration. That's everything that you do to track all your numbers. And then finally is leadership, which really should be the first one, because everything rises and falls on leadership. Michael Gerber says this. He said, the secret of a business is the system. How many of you know that if you try to recreate things every day and you don't have a systematic way of doing things, that it's going to be harder and you're going to go slower, right? How many of you have had to revisit that over time? The secret is the system. The question is why. The one and only reason your business exists is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. So we start with what we call a GPS. First is goals. Where are you going? Brian's going to talk to you a lot about this. What are your goals? Where are you going? P is for plans. How will you get there? You need a map. And then S is for systems. What vehicles will you use? So if we're going on a trip, then we've got a destination in mind, right? We've got a road map, or we've got something called GPS on our phones now, right? So I just bought Rick Jones' car about 3 days ago, and I'm trying to get all the Bluetooth stuff. Sometimes works, sometimes doesn't, and it's like, how many of you have ever noticed that, like, okay, on a phone call, I can hear you, but when I turn my GPS on, the volume's not right. So how many of you know that I need Santiago to take that car for, it'll take him about 2 minutes to fix all that stuff, right? So that's one of the reasons, by the way, that I hire a lot of young people is because they know tech and I don't know tech, all right? So what vehicles will you use? Think about your business. Your business is that vehicle, or your businesses are those vehicles that are going to help you achieve your life goals. I got certified in Gary Keller's One Thing training, and he has something in the business planning that we do in that program, and he calls GPS goals, priorities, and strategies. So you have a goal for the year. You have your business goal, for example, what your revenue is and what everything's going to look like and that vision for your business. And then you pick three priorities that are going to have a huge impact in your business. And then you got to develop, you know, 3 to 5 strategies for each of those priorities. All right? Now, we don't want to just have leadership, right? What kind of leadership do we want to have? Phenomenal leadership. And we don't want to just have phenomenal leadership. We want to have phenomenal leadership systems. That includes a system on how you attract people, how you hire them, how you interview them. And those of you that are in the inner circle, we've got all those resources. You don't want just marketing, right? What kind of marketing do you want? Yeah, I'm telling you, AC does some phenomenal marketing. I mean, the guy, you gotta talk to this guy. He's brilliant. You never thought I'd say that about you publicly, did you? But I bet it makes you feel good, doesn't it? Three is, we don't want just sales, we want, all right? And then operations, I mean, how about if we, like, knock people's socks off when we serve them? Like, the most phenomenal experience ever. And then, what if we had phenomenal administration systems where we just get our stats like clockwork? Well, guess what? You got to have a team, and you got to have systems for that. See, you need three things in your business. You need leadership. We got to become better leaders. You need people, because if you don't have the right people, how many of you were here when we had Dave Anderson on the stage? How many of you, your behind is still smoking from the scorching that he gave us? Huh? I'm telling you. What'd he say? What's the first page in his book, Up Your Business? It's about the people, right? The first act of leadership is not finding the right people, it's attracting the right people. You might be able to find people, but if you don't attract them, if you're not carrying yourself as the right kind of leader, Ellen's going to tell a story. I did a 2-day pod at Zoom. She's going to tell a story about the young man that's sitting next to her with his team. It was amazing. And I asked him some questions about it. It's like, wow. You went from there to there. Wow. It's about the people. And it had to do with their people. They got great people. You got to hire the right people. If you don't hire the right people, nothing else works. Nothing else works. Then you have to develop those people. So you need leadership, you need people, and you need systems. How many of you know, we went to the Super Bowl this year because it was in Houston. I gave away tickets to the Super Bowl. Sherry Perry, of course, won them because she wins everything. And it's true. So we went to the Super Bowl. How many of you know that the Patriots win the Super Bowl because they have the best, only because they have the best coaching and the best people? Woo! Only the one Patriot fan said yes. Okay? Here's the truth. The truth is the Patriots have three things. They have leadership, they have coaching, they have talent, and they have systems. How many of you know that the best, most phenomenal college football team on the planet, Roll Tide, that should have won the last championship, should win every championship? And by the way, what is it about human beings that we hate people who win all the time? How many of you hate you because you win all the time? I'm okay with that. You know, it's like, speaking of coaching, Lou Holtz is on the Zig documentary, and he said, you know, 90% of people don't care about your problems. He said, and the other 10% are glad you got them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So you need leadership, phenomenal leadership. You need people, phenomenal people. I'm telling you, I got phenomenal people, but guess what? You can have phenomenal people, but if they don't have the track to run on, if we don't have a playbook, if we don't execute, at the end of the day, what you're going to learn after a while, if you haven't learned already, is that all of business and all of life is about relationships. It's all about that. But personally and in business, we've got to have some systems to run on. What's the best way to do this? Let's do it that way every time. Why would we not do that? So you need leadership, you need people, and you need systems. And here's the reason that systems are so critical to your business. How many of you have either seen a company or this has been your reality that you grow in revenue, but you lose in profits, right? Okay, you got to have those administration systems. How many of you know that that's the only way you can manage effectively? If my folks have got to, they got to know what they're supposed to do when they get there in the morning and what they're supposed to do at lunch. They can't depend on you to micromanage them all the time, and you shouldn't do that. You need to learn how to empower them. We'll cover that a little bit later. By the way, over the next few days, we're going to unpack each one of those systems, all five of those systems. How many of you know that even your best talent will perform better when you have systems? All right? How many of you have been to McDonald's? You know the hamburger place? Everybody here been there at least once? Okay. I don't go there anymore, but I know what it is. What's the secret of McDonald's? It's you can get the same hamburger in Tokyo as you get in Paducah, Kentucky. Because they got a system. By the way, systems are not reserved just to low-priced type companies. Ritz-Carlton Hotel, they have a system. All right? So a calculated service outcome. How many of you have noticed that human beings do weird things? Anybody got employees? Anybody been in business for a while? Okay. I mean, human beings are just strange. And so when you have systems and you have leadership and you have the right people, you're going to have fewer surprises. You're never going to figure out the chambers of the human heart, but you'll have fewer surprises. And how many of you owners are like me that you like to change things up, but you don't do a very good job of communicating, right? That was me back in the day, right? Hey, I thought we changed that. Didn't we have that conversation? I had that conversation in my mind. I never had the conversation actually with the person. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? Or we had a five-minute conversation walking down the hallway. Does it work? How many of you would like to have a little more freedom to go do some things that you want to do, to pursue some more goals or dreams or spend time with your family? That's why you need to have systems in place. And then finally, how many of you would like to sell your company one of these days? Yeah? For a lot of money. You know, I don't get very many hands on that. You know why? Because there's a lot of people who love what they do. And guess what? That's okay. I'm glad that Brian Tracy has not sold Brian Tracy International, aren't you? And I think probably in a few years, I'll still be doing what I'm doing because I love doing what I'm doing. Now, you can't do everything. You don't have to do everything. But sooner or later, we're all going to leave the building, right? So the question is, what's going to happen to your business when you do that? All right? Now, the number one reason that small businesses don't grow or do as well as they could is something that we call around here FTI, failure to implement. So I want to give you the four keys, the four golden keys to overcoming FTI. Number one is inspiration. Stay around positive people. Stay around people who inspire you. Stay around people who are already doing what it is that you want to do. That's my biggest life lesson right there. Find people who are already doing what it is that you want to do and hang around them. Learn from them. Number two is organization. I had a meeting with Ziegler the week before last, and I never noticed that this was the case, but I realized it as we were sitting at the table, so I took this picture. If you're going to be organized, by the way, how many of you know that if you're Santi, is it 9 o'clock?
1 minute.
1 minute, okay. All right. How many of you know that you can implement more if your business is more organized and you're more organized yourself? Brian's really going to help you with that. And I noticed that you got to have two things. You got to have that Ziegler planner. Is everybody using their planner? Okay, look at you. Good. All right. And you got to have a Mac. I'm just saying. You know, it's like I looked around. You got a Mac and you got a planner. You're good to go. So you got to keep yourself organized. Number three is training. These are proven business systems. You're going to meet people all over this room that are using these proven systems. They work. How many of you know that most small business owners, they're really trained in the technical work that they do, but they're never really trained in marketing or leadership or finance? You don't have to be an expert at everything, but you need to understand it enough so that you can plug in the people and the systems to make that work, and we've got lots of resources for you. And finally, this is the major key right here to implementation. How many of you would agree that we all need people around us to support us, to encourage us, and to help us be accountable? And it's called community. And that's what I'm going to talk about in the next segment, is I'm going to give you the 6 steps of building community in your business. I've been working on this a lot, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. Finally, if you're going to overcome FTI, you have to get fit. You have to get your business fit. And the way you do that is focus. What's the goal? What's the dream? Where are we going? That's leadership. Leadership is effectively communicating your vision. We got to stay focused. Then we got to take action. How many of you know that vision without action is just a daydream? What's worse is action without vision is a nightmare. Focus, implement, track. What happened? Or, hey, in a better way, man, what happened? Oh, record sales, what happened? How many of you know that success leaves clues? Focus, implement, track. What worked? What didn't work? Yes or yes? Okay.